Can we just start rolling? Well, yeah, no, you and I get along just fine.
I know, right? Like, look at us. Look, this is what you do. I know, I can see yellow. You think my eyes can't see yellow?
Hey, man, there's all kind of yellow here, you know? It's like
L-I-V-E. No, I'm talking about the live yellow button. A button that says live on my screen.
I'm going to say I'm like Funaki, you know?
No, I'm not talking about that. My God. See this? You start the show and try to get me in trouble.
SmackDown's number one announcer. I am Pro Wrestling Cast number one Asian announcer.
Yeah, the number one on the show.
So, yeah, that's right. Hey, humble brag.
Couldn't help but notice the Yngwie song Magic Mirror playing on our podcast version of our show. Why is that? Are you a big fan of that song like me?
It's not bad. It's not my favorite Yngwie, but yeah, it's good.
Well, it's literally a song about a magic mirror you can look into. So,
well, I mean, it's fairy tales and all. You know, I'm into fairy tales. I'm into that, you know.
Imagine if you were to...
Yeah. So, hold on a second. So why are we playing this particular song? You want to get into that? You opened up the magic mirror, the portal into another dimension, apparently.
Well, you made a bet that you couldn't, you know. I think you made a bet without knowing what was going to really happen. I don't think you thought about it.
I stand by it, and I'm shocked. I'm shocked and appalled, Vince McMahon. Go ahead.
No. Well, I said it would be in football season, but I forgot that July 4th fell on a Monday.
So did I.
And we got a 1.87. We made a bet it would fall below 2.0 this year. You're going to give me probably a $2,000 guitar. But I said, you know, why don't we just play Magic Mirror from the Trilogy album?
Well, here's the funny thing. Yeah, I lost a bet, but here's because I didn't realize that Raw was on a Monday. But that's okay. I stand by it. Man,
what are you going to do when it's consistently below 2.0?
Well, here,
you want to make a bet on that?
No. I'm not going to make a bet on it because I see where this is going after I've made my bet. The thing about the Raw rating, man, it's abysmal. And I have to say that this rating is actually TNA worthy, because if you remember, TNA, if I'm not mistaken, scored a 1.87 rating when they went head-to-head with Monday Night Raw on the first time.
I think the highest I've seen, and it ain't far away, is a 1.4. So 1.4?
I thought it was a 1.8.
I don't know about that. But look, they're definitely getting closer and closer to TNA from what, 2009, 10?
It's
getting there. I mean, give them another year or two with this old Roman Reigns push. Keep pushing them. I'm enjoying the push now because it's actually hurting them. And it's a perverse thing for me. It's like, it's really funny. You know, I'm still angry about the New Japan raid. Don't think for 1 minute I'm not pissed off that happened.
Well, you can't blame the WWE, the superstar.
No, I don't.
Left.
Yeah. Well, you can't. A guy like Kota Ibushi, a guy like Nakamura, it's really hard to tell them what to do. You know, they're free spirits. And I know they wanted to leave, and they were given a, you know, they're independent contractors in the truest sense of the word, which we'll talk about that maybe with Matt and Jeff Hardy.
All right. So, yes, the final deletion. Boy, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Brock Lesnar, the final deletion, Raw, food fights, and so much more. This is Pro Wrestling Cast. And before we get into the news of the week, the wrestling headline news, let's talk about this. Ways to support our show. You know, you can do that every single week by not only subscribing to our show on YouTube, but also on iTunes, where if you're listening to the audio portion of this program, because we're shooting this with video and then we do the audio drop with the extra bells and whistles, the audio drop has that Magic Mirror Yngwie Malmsteen song there because I lost a bet with Stephen Anthony regarding the Raw ratings. But you can go ahead and subscribe, give us those 5-star reviews, those comments on iTunes, those comments on YouTube. Every single bit of that really does help the algorithm so that we maintain supremacy there in the world of wrestling podcasts, at least come up from the dregs of the other jobbers there.
We're no Jay Bronze.
we're not jobbers now. We are part of the elite, but so we appreciate that. The other thing you can do is also shop using our links there at ProWrestlingCast.com. Amazon is there. If you go Amazon and you shop, hey, do yourself a favor before you type Amazon into your computer. your browser, go ahead and just go ahead and click on our banner for Amazon, or use our Amazon search there at prowrestlingcast.com, and there you can buy drones. You want to start a drone army like Matt Hardy? Go ahead and do it. Start by doing drone by drone. We're going to have links to all kinds of drones in this show. Thanks to Stephen Anthony doing his due diligence before the show.
I might buy one. I don't, or five.
We could actually do the same deletion intro where you're riding around crazy on a lawnmower ruining my 0.4 acre yard.
I would never do that to your yard, but I would send, I was thinking about sending five drones to where Terry worked to hover outside of the window.
You could do that. She could also take the El Caban guitar and hammer one, and then you'll pop up in a hologram and go, Terry.
Definitely the best thing I've seen in a long time. But yeah, I mean, you can do that for like $300 actually on Amazon.
Yeah, you
can
do that. So
five drones.
Start your drone army. But before you do that, go ahead and click on Pro Wrestling Cast Amazon link so we get credit for that. It doesn't cost you any more. It just simply means that you that Amazon cares and you care enough, and Amazon sends us a little commission for everything you buy using our web link. Other thing too is Amazon, you also have a WWE Network if you want to sign up. So if you're a new subscriber, you're just now listening to the show, you're a casual wrestling fan, you want to get more hardcore, go ahead and sign up using our link for WWE Network and WWE Shop. If that's not enough, man, we just got done doing a sale on WWE Shop. If you click on it every day, there was $15 t-shirts. I believe you can still possibly get that right now. $15 shirts and some of your favorite superstars, from New Day to Seth Rollins to Dean Ambrose to the aforementioned Brock Lesnar. You can go pick up t-shirts from those cats as well, as long as you use our link, and then you get some great deals on that as well. Last but not least, independent wrestling, High Spots. You can check out High Spots and download all kinds of shoot videos and more and more being added, independent wrestling, and see some of your superstars before they were WWE superstars, before they were even in Ring of Honor. If you'd like, check that out there at highspots.com. And now on with the show.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up. My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at PWrestlingCast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
It's too bad Heaven Tonight couldn't be the theme for the next portion instead of our regular theme song.
Is that what you want? Because I could play that. No,
please don't. It is a poor song, perhaps.
It's okay. It's all right. I deserve it.
One more thing we should talk about is the Ric Flair podcast. We forgot to talk about that, but at some point we should mention that he's back in the air.
Oh, we did mention that last week.
Yeah, well, I heard his first show. That's why.
Oh, you heard his first show? Okay, I've yet to hear it. It's been a crazy week here. Hey, thanks for tuning in to Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly dose of news and commentary in the world of professional wrestling. And the world is spinning right now. My name is Aljon Goh, professional broadcaster, lifelong wrestling fan, joined by the wrestling historian, the man with the glove of injustice, its lead line glove, the heel commentator, Stephen Anthony. Wow, crazy week, crazy yesterday. It's Sunday as we record this right now. Brock Lesnar, spoiler alert for those of you, he actually kicked ass during...
Spoiler alert, nobody knows?
If you've been living under a rock.
I'm going to wait and watch it on Tuesday night. You know,
I love Nixon, our Framing Hanley friend, who has been part of this show since the WrestleMania shows. And he goes, yeah, so I'm supposed to see Guns N' Roses tonight, but instead of seeing Guns N' Roses, I'm sitting home watching UFC 200.
Well, you know, Nixon's a real fan of wrestling, MMA, football, and Guns N' Roses. Do we really feel like that Axel can pull it off anymore?
No, I tell you, I thought he did fine, to be quite honest. I saw Guns N' Roses in 2009.
Did you?
Which, he was the only one, of course.
Was a weird Chinese Democracy tour, right?
Yeah, it was, and I was in Tokyo when it happened. And wow, holy smokes, was that a good show?
Really? Okay, well, yeah. Good for him.
And he was a lot bigger and fatter then too. So he's doing double duty now, doing AC/DC and Guns N' Roses. Crazy times.
Crazy times, but you know, Nixon made the right choice. Obviously, this is the one of the, we don't talk about UFC a lot, but this is one of the biggest events ever in pay-per-view history. Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting show. You know, the Miesha Tate match was obviously very out of the blue to see her, you know.
Well, they had to do something.
Yeah. Well, you know, but obviously Lesnar is what we're wanting to talk about here. You know, really, WWE is who we focus on because we're a wrestling podcast. They really dodged a bullet with his performance. You know, Mark Hunt, not only is he a knockout artist, not only is he one of the 10, maybe top 10 heavyweights they got, he's Samoan. So, I mean, there was a good chance that this could have ended bad. And in the second round, you know, Lesnar did look a little fatigued, but you know, honestly, he had control of the whole thing. I mean, when you look at it from a broad perspective, the third round, he'd taken him down and really had him where he wanted him. And it was a good, I don't know if it was a good fight, but he won.
Well, this one-off show for Brock Lesnar for UFC 200, it was badass. And kudos to Brock Lesnar. He will be our promo of the week, believe it or not. It's not going to be in the squared circle. It will be in the octagon. His, you know, acknowledgement of the tragedy in Dallas will be mentioned in there as well. And overall, once again, just a very class act there.
He's a classy guy, but he said he was from Canada now, which is technically true. But I mean, there's a lot to be said about that. You know, he's like, I'm from Canada. True, yeah. Heel came out to enter Sandman, similar to the Sandman intro. Well, I guess he's in better shape than the Sandman.
Yeah, without the smoking the cigarettes and the kendo stick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, from a wrestling perspective, though, you know, why book him against Randy Orton, who's not even officially back yet? And
hey, wait. Should we just go ahead and play the sounder for the This Week in Wrestling News? We should do that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
This Week in Wrestling News.
We found out that, let me just start like this. How do you book Randy Orton against Brock Lesnar? Who wins? Randy Orton's coming back for the first time, and it feels like a year. You know, yeah. And by the way, Randy Orton, this is a personal message to you. You disrespected my father on Twitter, and you said, I'm not injured. Dave Meltzer makes up a bunch of bullshit. Motherfucker, I ain't seen you in a year. What you been doing? Riding the bicycle in the, on the compound? You know, what do you... okay, I'm just saying.
Got married.
A year off when nobody's around? You were hurt, and he's just a news reporter, okay? He's not trying to give his opinion like, you know, two jerks like us, you know? He's just saying, I found this out, here is what I heard. So now Randy's coming back from this layoff, and he's going to have a match with Brock Lesnar. So Brock Lesnar has to go over. So Randy's going to come back and take a loss in his first match. Or are you going to have a DQ, which would suck? Or are you going to have Lesnar lose to Orton, which is probably the silliest thing you could possibly do? Bad booking on this one.
Oh, it's completely bad. And, you know, Randy's got to be like, mother effer.
Yeah.
This sucks. This sucks for me to come back on this return. And the best he can do is make it appear like he's hanging. But what I don't understand is with all the injuries Orton has sustained over the years, shoulder upon shoulder and other things that are going on, he's going to be going to Suplex City. So this may be the last we ever see of Randy Orton. He'll be back, and then he's going to be gone because Brock Lesnar will destroy that boy. Poor guy.
Maybe Brock Lesnar will do his suplexes super safe this time.
How is that possible?
It's not possible because he's a UFC fighter. You know, he's changed his style. He was dangerous in 2003 with his shit. I mean, he's always been a dangerous guy to wrestle.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you book it. I don't think.
Man, I mean, and Randy is not, Randy as quick as and smooth as he is. And he is an awesome performer. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Randy is the man. Sure. And but when it comes down to the durability factor, you know, Randy is not Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is durable. I mean, you look at the match that they had at WrestleMania. Oh my gosh, like I was captivated. I was like, wow, this is great. This is great. They're legit, you know, laying it in. And I was impressed. I've watched that match several times and I'm thinking, man, this is great. The full physical contact. I like it. And
I like that match more than the Nakamura Zayn match. Don't want to get sacrilegious here, but
I do.
But I thought that match was more up my alley than that one.
Like they had a really good chemistry there.
Yeah, they had great chemistry.
I tell you, if they did a program with Lesnar and Reigns, I would buy into it. Even now, I would buy into it.
Well, now is the time to start setting up Lesnar Reigns 2 at WrestleMania, because you know if you're going to go all the way with this push, you might as well see where it goes. I mean, maybe they've soured on Reigns to some degree after a drug test, but you know, like I said last time with Orton,
just to clear some things up regarding the wellness violation of a Roman Reigns we mentioned on the last show. There is just because he fails a wellness violation does not mean that he was on something. There is a window, apparently there is a window that you need to supply the third party, a urine sample. And if you fail to do a urine sample within that time, then it is a wellness violation. It doesn't matter if you're clean or not. It's, there were some wrestlers, I think, that had done a violation, and it's because, they couldn't pee or something like that, or they didn't provide it in a timely manner, or they were late in providing it, and that was an automatically ping thing. So it is possible that are other factors involved in that are not indicative, just so people know, of being on an illegal substance or a controlled substance or a banned substance or whatever the case is that would deem a violation of the wellness policy. So just to let everyone know. Now, my personal belief is does not matter. What matters is that, you know, the WWE does not disclose that information, nor has Roman Reigns gone public with that information, is why he was suspended for the wellness violation. So
that being said, take it from me, a wild boy from the streets of Louisiana. That whole not supplying the piss thing, that's the oldest trick in the book, allegedly. So this is why I think that something bad did happen. McMahon made the decision himself to strip him of the title after the wellness violation. Now, that tells me he was pissed off about what he was doing. But you're right. If you don't supply piss, they get pissed off. Get it? And, you know, we'll give you a wellness violation. But I think Reigns was probably on something, because he's, you know, to take someone off of house shows, they really don't like to do that, especially with the suffering house shows. You know, no. Ambrose is about the same draw as Reigns at house shows, so it really doesn't matter.
Here's the thing, too. You know, for those people that have performance issues in using the restroom, you actually have to pee in front of somebody so that they don't see you switch it.
Oh yeah, you have to take out your
instrument,
the instrument of doom.
Yes.
And you know, but I mean, I use the bathroom every 35 minutes, so I don't know what's going on with him. I'll get you, you know, and as far as passing a test with that, like, I'll get you some piss if you need it right now. You want some piss? I mean, I'll get you some piss.
I just pissed right before this show, so.
Yeah, I'll get you some piss anytime you want it.
So, at any rate, Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, they did make that decision to announce the main event for SummerSlam right before UFC 200. I think it was definitely a coup for WWE. Was it worth it? Yeah. I mean, Brock Lesnar got paid, what, $2.5 million to do the
minimum. Minimum. I bet it goes up. Might make $3.5 million.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the weigh-in I thought was great. I saw the weigh-in. I saw a highlight from UFC, because I haven't had time to actually sit down and watch the entire show, but I will. So it's,
Yeah,
it's crazy, man. This guy, Brock Lesnar, has got money written all over it. It legitimizes a sport, which we'll talk into the Cruiserweight Classic and how that's presented. But I really, really like this, and I hope that WWE learns that, you know, this being probably the biggest pay-per-view. Would you say one of the biggest pay-per-views of all time, the UFC 200?
I would say besides the Mayweather pay-per-view recently, that this would be the second biggest pay-per-view of all time. I think it'll do... I don't know if it'll do 2 million or not, but it's up there. The card itself looked great on paper, and that's when you buy it at the last second, but the pay-per-view itself wasn't, it didn't blow me away or anything.
No, no, it didn't. I tell you what's being blown away is Dana White's wallet right now, because not only does he get so much money from the UFC deal that
and this impending sales coming up too. That could be 4 billion. That's with a B.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened yet, but
it's impending.
It looks like it's going to happen. I mean, I always heard from father who really, if you want to know MMA UFC news, if you're not talking about Ariel Helwani, Meltzer is the guy on that. You know, he's a legitimate journalist in MMA UFC. You know, it's not just wrestling. Mm-hmm. But he always said it was going to be late July and it'd be 4 million and the deal's in place. They've already done due diligence. Now that's something that should be known. They've already done due diligence. And we explained what due diligence was on our law episode of
WCW Live.
WCW Live. How to not buy WCW and blow it.
Yeah. Inside but, job. Inside job.
I should have worn a tie today. Okay, go ahead.
No. That's all I'm saying there. So anyway, so congratulations to Brock Lesnar. Actually, congratulations Dana White.
Congratulations. And Amanda Nunes. Amanda Nunes, all right, the one that looked awesome. Yeah.
And also congratulations to Vince McMahon. However, no congratulations for Randy Orton, because this may be bad. Only he'll be doing the JOB quite possibly,
and he will be on the draft show, Lesnar, but he won't be on Monday night because, you know, they didn't know. I'm just saying one more time, I thought the motherfucker could break his hand, get beat up, all concussed, all kind of stuff. This was a pretty close to SummerSlam. They should have announced his opponent tomorrow night or Monday night, you know, the what is it, the 11th? They should have announced it on Monday night, the 11th.
Well, it was a calculated risk for WWE because they didn't know how it was going to go.
They needed to have it promoted on the card, which they did promote it in a kind of a, I mean, they promoted it, but it was like a shitty little thing they did. But that was their big thing, have it promoted on the show. So you have to come up with a match beforehand. And that's the great mystery. Why did they come up with this beforehand? Because they wanted to promote it on UFC 200.
Which of course they did. Well, it makes perfect sense. I think it was a win, and that was good. So Brock comes back as the reigning champion, champion, but at least being the
he's world champion
after his win. Oh my God! You know, if it was for the gold, my God, that'd have been magnificent.
What if Brock Lesnar was a UFC and WWE champion at the same time?
That would be. I mean, that would
millions
be,
of
I
dollars.
Mean, the world would explode. Would
be cool. I don't think he could pull that off, but
I don't think so. Either.
I doubted Brock Lesnar. I told everybody I knew that Mark Hunt was going to win, and I doubted Brock Lesnar, and that's what happened to me. I was wrong, because you should not doubt Brock Lesnar, because he's like, he's not a human. I mean, he's a human being, but he's close to not.
Yeah.
It's almost like a
cyborg.
Monster.
He really is a cyborg.
I am a monster.
You know, you look at Kurt Angle and you look at how much of a monster he is. And then you have Brock Lesnar, which is just like, wow. I mean, he's just, he's insane. So if anyone's a Superman, it would be Brock Lesnar. Okay, let's.
He's like in the Bible when they talked about a giant that was 9 feet tall or something, right. And some that's weird Brock dude Lesnar. Around. That's like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
That's who they were seeing. And they just wrote about it with like scripture and shit. Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that is Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
That was so nice.
Thanks. Delightful. It's an extraordinary xylophone.
Oh, gracias. So, Matt, where's your gift?
My gift is too enormous to be confined by a material possession. My gift to King Maxwell, who will one day be the heir to the haughty name, to the haughty throne, is I am going to expunge the evil enigma from our family tree forever. I am going to restore honor to the haughty name. That is why I have invited all of you here, because these events must be documented. Please light this candle, my beautiful wife. This candle will burn for eternity, representing you. and it will only be extinguished when Brother Nero has truly been deleted. I love the two of you more than anything. So today, at sunset, the final deletion takes place. Señor Benjamin, prepare the battlefield for massacre.
Yes, Mr. Harley.
Also in the headlines, the final deletion.
Oh, my God.
If you look up right now the Twitter for Jeff Hardy, it is a blank space.
That's which right.
Is amazing. So why don't you, I mean, I was very intrigued. At the end of the day, I enjoyed it. There's a lot of things that are not pro wrestling in TNA's impact showing that we had last week or this past week regarding the final deletion. Well, I looked this up so I can show everybody the Twitter handle. Why don't you go ahead and share what your thoughts are on this drones and tasers and lake fishing and all that stuff that's going on here.
You know, I have so much to say about this, and I just want to start off by saying this. Basically, this year, we've had the Nakamura-Zayn match. We've had Naito's coming up as the top heel to me, most interesting heel, and we've had the final deletion. Those are the three best things I've seen all year in any wrestling around the world. That's how good this was. And you know how much I hate TNA, okay? Not the wrestlers, but just the way the organization is put together, maybe a little bit of Billy Corgan and Gaburik. And here we go. At the beginning of the week, they send this tape to a lot of people. I know that, can we say that Nixon got a link? I know he saw it.
He's featured
he was on the video. Yeah. He was featured on the TNA video.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, this fucking thing is the shit. Just want to let y'all know. And I saw Vince Russo say, this is the best thing I've seen on TV in years, bro. Gotta watch it.
Bro.
But what you should put that memo. But
I will. I'll put that.
What's funny about him saying that, see, because I look at things a different way. You know, I look at what people say and then dissect it a different way, just like Dick Gregory watching ABC News, right? When he said that, I'm like, he's not even talking about himself right now. Okay. He's saying the company that asked him to leave or that he caused a lot of trouble for by even being a writer, he's saying that they have the best thing on TV he's seen from before he was even writing for them. Mm-hmm. This asshole said that. He got blown away by something. Mm. So when it came up, I did see the night before on Matt Hardy's Twitter that he said, I've spent $370,000 on aerial attack robots. Out of the blue, I was like, man, that's pretty funny tweet.
Isn't
like,
it great?
I wonder if he's going to have attack robots. If what's funny is those drones that you see in the final deletion, if you click on our Amazon link, some of them are like $44. They're not expensive.
But
like I was saying, I could buy a fleet of five.
But the ones that display holograms of a Matt Hardy are very expensive.
Well, those have to be ordered from China. Those are not available in the U.S., but you can get you on Amazon and you can get it in China. But that's where those come from.
Well, for the sake of everyone watching our program today, take a look at Brother Nero, Jeff Hardy brand on Twitter, deleted.
Oh,
now, look at his terrible tweets. I love it. So you have, man, it's dark in here, deletion. It's dark and lonely in here, deletion. He does still tweet because he still does some independent wrestling dates and things like that. I've been deleted, undead, due to being a Brother Nero. The final deletion. And then you have, there you go, there's Matt Hardy. Delete, 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 delete.
Right.
I mean, this is just the best stuff ever. Why do I climb on it and yell before I jump? Oh, I'm crazy. Oh, yeah.
I've always wondered that. That's funny. I've always wondered that. That last tweet, it's sad how many people love Big Brother and don't give a shit about Impact Wrestling. When he says Big Brother, that was his last real tweet. When he says Big Brother, he's talking about WWE, and I think that's really funny. You know, that's why I don't think the Hardy Boys will ever go back to WWE. And it kind of goes with what I was talking about a little bit. You know, okay, back to the final deletion before I'm getting ahead of myself. Not to sound like Russo, okay, to continue the story, first of all, I actually watched it and I honestly thought it was the best TV, anything wrestling on TV related in many years. I really did. And people go, well, it's not wrestling. Well, the match itself was only 2.5 or 3 stars. Listen, the match is everything. A wrestling match, especially if you ask Al Snow, a wrestling match like WrestleMania 3 It's everything built up. Okay. So Andre the Giant staring at Hulk Hogan and pulling down the shit and the cross falls off and all of that and build up and the entrance, that's all part of the match.
Yes.
The way they put all of this together structurally was brilliant. And I need to say this, the section where Jeff Hardy's playing his stupid acoustic guitar, because you know he probably does that in his house, playing his acoustic guitar.
Yeah, it's his acoustic guitar. That's him.
Yeah. Working on some of his songs. His
music with Billy Corgan.
Yeah, he's no Hank Williams, okay?
No.
But it's not even Hank Williams.
But he's an artist. He's an artist. What can he say? You know,
he's a wrestler. he's not an artist. He's a wrestler.
Wrestling is a performance art.
Absolutely. He's a wrestler. He's a wrestler. So if performance art is wrestling, then he's a wrestler. An artist is someone that, okay, he paints some pictures and shit.
I like his paint.
No, you don't. You don't like that crap.
Buy it now at impactwrestlingshop.com.
That is bought by weird-ass goth girls, thinking that he'll like them for doing
it. I'm sorry. Please continue your thought, because I know you're on the precipice of something.
I'm getting upset about his paintings, but...
What the hell is going on? Brother Nero! Brother Nero! Assault robots, you are now speaking to Vanguard 1. Tonight, I command you to meet me at the property line. Tonight is our final battle, and we determine who owns the rights to the Hardy name, who controls the Hardy brand, who is the sole proprietor of the Hardy Empire. Everything ends tonight. The last dance in Cameron. The final deletion!
This game of cat and mouse, so naive. Brother Nero is not the only landscaper in the family. Your beloved yard is about to be broken.
I forgot. Yeah. So when the attack drones appear in the window and then they fly in the back door, he hits one with a guitar, which is really funny. The hologram appears. They show Matt Hardy saying, "You're not the only landscaper in the family." And then has an orgasm literally on a lawnmower while running over his lawn, as if ruining someone's lawn slightly is the worst thing he could do.
Yeah. But that you see, it's literally a highly pedicured lawn of Jeff Hardy, because it has his little tribal tattoos in the lawn.
See, that's why I love you. Highly pedicured lawn. No one has said that yet. That's perfect.
No one said that, but okay. We're saying it here on the show because that's who we are.
Okay, I'm just saying I'm a
performance artist, damn it.
I know you're a performance artist. Well, I didn't know that, really. But he's a highly pedicured lawn. The grass will grow back and you can recut it. I'm just saying it'll take like a week. But here's why that's funny. He's having an orgasm over this, right? He's like, I've ruined his lawn forever. And that 3 minutes, 4 minutes is the best thing I've ever seen. It's the best thing I've ever seen, bro. And I'm not lying. for real. I was like,
let's get back to
I keep watching it.
I know. I love it that much. It is a train wreck. So let me share this little tidbit. So we looked at Jeff Hardy's deletion page.
Yes.
He has been deleted. But yes. Have you seen Matt Hardy's page? So look at here, Matt Hardy in all of his glory, in his hair.
Yes.
So here he is, a polarizing paranormal truth teller, emotion evoker, savage survivalist, adjective advocate. All right. So you look adjective here.
Advocate.
I know it's cool though. You know, fine. The Final Deletion is now being revered as a masterpiece. It is. Look at that video. Isn't that hilarious?
That's fucking look ridiculous.
That. Look at that. That's totally literally. Let's watch it again because I favored it. Let's look at that again in a gallery. There it is.
That's not real. That's not.
That
real.
Is so good, man.
You can't print that.
Let me tell you that. Regardless, it is the most brilliant. I mean, I'm favoriting that, and I retweeted it.
Yeah, please retweet it.
So, isn't this not the best thing that TNA's ever done?
Yes, this is the best thing TNA's ever done. The only thing close would be the Unbreakable match.
Yes.
The three-way match we always talk about. And then the Samoa Joe Kurt Angle feud was their crest of the wave. And this is the best TV show they've ever done. This is the best TV show. You know, you got to rate it two ways. Like, what is a match is really the question.
Well, this is the best segment that they've ever done on TV. The show as it's a whole, there. Taken in their two parts, is absolutely abysmal when you look at it. Because
there are abysmal sections. For sure.
Yes. Oh, come on, man. I mean, the first, if it wasn't for the Final Deletion, this show would just be the worst TNA show.
And I'm glad
You had a horrible female.
Those wrestling matches are terrible.
You had a horrible segment with Dixie. Once again, heavily edited. Bad Dixie, bad Billy.
Was Billy screaming again?
Bad Maria Kanellis. Just bad, bad, bad. All the way bad. You know, Maria was just like, is it you or is it me? You or me. And I'm saying bad Maria. And
delete.
Yes. Can we delete it? The only thing I didn't want to delete was that Matt and Jeff show. Now the Matt and Jeff show was great. It was not a wrestling match. It was a spectacle. And for the spectacle, I say, yes. Awesome.
Six
stars. It was
like a
train wreck. You know, it was farce. It was, everyone was in on it. It seemed like everybody was in on it. It was kayfabe. It was like awesome story. It wasn't difficult to follow. Was it tongue in cheek? Was it campy? Yes, but it was a train wreck and I loved every bit of it. Was it wrestling? Hell no. It wasn't wrestling.
Well, I think this, okay. As a tape trader kind of guy, there's some Manami Toyota matches. There's Kenta Kobashi versus Stan Hansen or Kenta Kobashi versus Misawa series. Those are the best wrestled matches I've ever seen. But then again, this is wrestling in a sense too, you know, but you got to look at it for all it is. Actually, the unedited 18-minute version on YouTube is the perfect way to put it. That 18 minutes is 5 stars, just like any of those 5-star matches. Now, when you rate matches, this is what people need to understand. You know, you're rating it specifically the technical aspects of it, but that's also the nadir of the whole internet wrestling community is that at the same time, because you can't really, did I say nadir right? N-A-D-I-R? Because you can't really rate something. You can rate something with its physicality and its technicality and all that and say, oh, Chris Benoit had a match with Jushin Liger and it's 4.75 stars or whatever it is. But it's hard to really put your finger on it. But what I'm saying is this is the best thing I've seen this year. Nakamura Zayn, Naito heel, and this is the best thing I've seen in wrestling. And I owe it to this, Al John. Matt Hardy is playing it old school. He's not going on Jim Ross's podcast and go, yeah, we've got this pretty cool idea. You know, I'm playing this weird character. Fuck that. He is in his character at all times. And dude, bro, I'm imitating Vince Russo to be funny, guys. I don't really talk like that. The way I actually talk is much worse. The thing about it is a guy that enters his character completely, a guy like Kevin Sullivan did it. The wrestlers were afraid he'd put spells on them backstage. He wouldn't break character. The original Sheik is the ultimate example. Never broke character. Scary guy. Kevin Sullivan himself said the stiffest. He said, "You call me stiff. The stiffest thing that ever happened to me was the Sheik showing me something backstage."
Yeah.
He's like, because they stayed in character all the time. Bruiser Brody, you know, throws a handicapped kid out of the wheelchair. You know, at a TV taping in Georgia. This was on the Ric Flair podcast a few months back. You know, these guys stayed in character at all times, and that is what Matt's doing. That's why this is so much better than anything on WWE. You know, you don't see Stephanie McMahon giving an award to a disabled child. Not that there's anything wrong with that, obviously, but it just doesn't work drive. Out. When you're constantly in character, like you're showing that Twitter, you don't know. It's just, there's just something about it. You just don't see that you don't see past the wall, and it's awesome. You don't want to hear Matt Hardy talk normal. You want Matt Hardy to orgasmically run over the lawn and tweet that he's going to eat Grado and turn him into meatballs or whatever. He's always talking about eating people and animals on his Twitter, which is really funny to me too. He doesn't break character, and that's why it works. He's a performance artist in the truest sense of the word. He is a method actor, and the best wrestlers are method actors. The Four Horsemen were complete method actors for 24 right. hours a day and never stopped. The only thing that was fake is they'd whisper the finish.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's awesome.
That's why it is awesome. And you're right. So I guarantee you. So when it comes to the final deletion, probably the finest moment in wrestling, you know, for TNA ever, quite possibly without being the three-way match. And you're right. You know, the three-way match was, talk about orgasmic. That was an orgasmic match.
Absolutely. The Zenith. I mean, and then when Kurt Angle came in and was feuding with Joe over the belt, that was great. And then this too.
Yeah.
But this was awesome. This was so, I literally started thinking about buying drones to send to people. Like, I would send a drone to your house and like have it fly around you.
You could do that.
Let me say this too. Did they live on the same property?
It seems like they live very close to each other.
Did they buy like 100 acres of land in Cameron? Because I used to live in Waynesville, which is near Cameron. It ain't real expensive to buy land in Cameron, which is probably smart of them.
No, because it's very interesting because you had the final deletion take place. You would appear to be at Matt's house, but they end on Jeff's house.
Because
that would be Jeff Hardy's symbol that he climbs up on, and then that's where the lighter hit, and all of a sudden the gasoline went up and torched him, and that's how he is finally able to defeat his brother.
Deleted. Right?
That's what I think, because that big symbol is supposed to be in Jeff's house.
Yes, his symbol. I mean,
symbol.
I just wanted to say that looks a little bit too much like a crucifix. They're kind of taking a chance there. They didn't get in trouble. I'm just saying it's not a good time to be burning crosses.
Oh. Truth be told, it really didn't burn the symbol. Did it just go up, and then all of a sudden the fire didn't attach itself necessarily to the symbol? But
yeah, I've done worse. I've done much worse fire tricks than that in my day. No, I'm not putting them down. It was a cool visual, and it wasn't
the Undertaker symbol. I'll tell you that.
The Undertaker symbol looked like something too.
Yeah, well, when you have Steve Austin on it, you know, being sacrificed to Stephanie.
Not cool at all. That lost a lot of Southern fans when they did that. I know a lot of people that said when they started doing that sacrilegious shit, I was out. I'm just saying. Southern people did not like that at all.
There was a bunch of stuff like that, like HBK versus God, which is a totally different thing. But
yes, not quite as offensive, but close.
But close, very close. So this is the reason why. Now, you look at the internet views. Now, there are several different people who have beat Impact to the punch in posting the final deletion. And you have 95,000 views. You have 168,000 views. Reaction videos, 35,000 views, 78,000 views, 50,000 views. You know, this is crazy. This is crazy promotion for the brand. And if you were to judge the Hardys and what time and effort it took them to put this together and TNA, I would say that it was a big win, because if people know about this, it's big. Everybody in the wrestling community is talking about Final Deletion. It's before UFC this week, everybody was talking about this. They've had since Tuesday and before then, with the hype that, the different previews of like, this is crazy. And like I said, the intrigue was there for me. And do I love what I saw? Yes. But it wasn't pure wrestling. It wasn't wrestling match. It was heavily edited. It was one part Lucha Underground, one part Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, another part just, Iron Man 3, another part, professional wrestling. It was just crazy. Camp, and it was definitely worth watching, and we'll put the link on it. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll be able to see the final deletion. I'm going to put it on there right now. But
I also wanted to say this: the guy that does Lucha Underground, I can't remember his name.
John.
He put it down. Not him. The other guy. He put it down on his Twitter. It's like, nice try. Fuck you, buddy. Your show's been stale as fuck to me for years. And I see your TV tapings. And you're just like Alvarez, but it's like a mouse on a wheel. You're just right there doing the same shit. Don't put them down for doing what you try to do better. This was very uniquely its own. Russo tried to say, I did matches outside. If anything, this match reminded me of Kota Ibushi matches in DDT.
It was Krista Joseph, right?
I think so. Yeah. But this match reminded me like DDT matches with Kota Ibushi. He would do matches outside, do spots outside, shoot fireworks at people, You know, the gifts are all over the place if you don't see the actual matches. And that's what this reminded me of more than anything, or Kenny Omega matches if you want to get more whatever from DDT. This was uniquely its own. It was a complete, and I wanted to just say, I know I'm talking about it a lot, but I had a lot to say about it. I just wanted to applaud Matt Hardy. He's come up with some silly characters like Diablos Angelica or something 10 years back that was stupid. And he had the thing happen with Edge, and he's had a lot of different things. And the Young Bucks actually said this, you know, it's really easy for the Hardy Boys to go out there and be a tag team and do the standard match and play it safe. No, he wants to be an artist, mm-hmm. a real artist, and come up with something. And by God, it worked. It was brilliant. And this is his masterpiece. It really is. And I know TNA and Lagana and Borash are like, oh, we filmed it and it's a labor of love. And that's all cool. This all came from Matt Hardy. This is all Matt Hardy, 95%. Okay. He's the one that owns Attack Drones. You know what I mean? this was his idea.
God, senior, I wish he used your Amazon link for all those drones.
And here's something really special. Senior Benjamin.
Oh, I love that. Was it Rebby's dad?
Apparently so. Rebby Sky? This is cool too. She's actually a pretty good actress, especially for that shit
show. That was like telenovela worthy.
Right. So the relationship of Senior Benjamin with Hardy, Matt Hardy, and Reby's relationship with Hardy through Benjamin is interesting, because it seems to me like Reby knows Matt's crazy, but just wants to like get all this Hardy money for the baby. Because that's, you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then she's like manipulates the telephone. Yeah, extraordinary. Yeah. And then Senior Benjamin is, for some reason, he's just a gardener, like, hey, I don't want any trouble. But then you realize as you go on, this guy is completely dedicated to the situation.
Yeah, because he wants the money too.
He will delete Jeff Hardy too. You know, the tasers, you know. What's going to happen when Senior Benjamin does a run in during an actual match on a paper?
It's going to be the.
What's going to happen? They're going to explode. Benjamin is already.
He's got a shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees. The guy is a cult favorite.
He's a cult favorite. Who's more over? Who's over? Grotto, Mandrews, Andrew Everett, Billy Corgan, or Senior Benjamin? Senior Benjamin. Who's over?
He's the one that's over.
Senior Benjamin and the Hardys are who's over on the show. Sorry.
Senior Benjamin is
that just damn over. Baby's more over than Bobby Lashley.
He is more over than Bobby Lashley, and he's actually just as over as Ralphus was in WCW. That's the equivalent. He is the Ralphus, you know, 2016.
Yeah, poor Ralphus. I wonder whatever happened to Ralphus. It's interesting.
Yeah, maybe we can ask something about
Y2J. Yeah. Maybe Twitter, we can find out from Y2J. I can't say enough about this. Everything worked. I couldn't believe it. Oh, it's a dilapidated boat. But then the boat's not dilapidated. It's
brilliant. The boat was a shield. And the fact that Will-O-The-Wisp came out of nowhere, out of nowhere to do like this roadhouse thing. All of a sudden, I got flashbacks of like Patrick Swayze out there in the middle of that roadhouse. You remember the end of Roadhouse? Did you remember that movie?
Yeah.
Now, Roadhouse was great for several different reasons. Roadhouse was great, not only for Patrick Swayze, but it also had Chainsaw Charlie in it as well. I mean,
that was when Terry Funk was heavy into trying to be an actor.
Oh, I loved it so much.
Quick side note, Terry Funk, brilliant. You do a couple of acting gigs, you can get SAG eligible. When you're with SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, you get health insurance. It's brilliant.
That's why Terry Funk is an actor, folks.
Yeah,
that's why. Chris Jericho, also an actor. Hulk Hogan, also an actor. Rock, also an actor. John Cena, also an actor. Health insurance.
And a happy birthday to Terry Funk, 72 years old, still setting people's asses on fire.
Happy birthday, Terry Funk. You know, I loved calling him Chainsaw Charlie because that is like my favorite name ever.
That was a rib to me. But you know what? It was so awesome.
But it was awesome. Like, that's why I call Terry Funk Chainsaw Charlie always and forever. Chainsaw Charlie for life. That's me
Once I saw him accidentally paralyze Mr. Pogo and then set his ass on fire and then have to put his ass out because he realized he had paralyzed him, I said, this gentleman is very dangerous.
Yes, for sure.
Let me put your ass on the internet. Yeah, it's out there. Research Mr. Pogo versus Terry Funk, you'll definitely see something.
That should be our match of the week. Okay,
folks. Yeah, sure. I'm not going to watch it again.
Take a look at that, kids. For the young kids out there that seeked out a crazy wrestling podcast like ours.
Yes.
Check that out. So yes, kudos for that. But like I said, thumbs up for the spectacle, the grand spectacle that was the Final Deletion, and thumbs down for the rest of TNA Impact. So it.
Oh, I like it.
Brother Nero, Brother Nero, it's over.
I do like that. I do like Eddie Edwards versus Lashley X Division title for title that's coming up. That's great. Women's division down. We can talk about that. You and I talked it ad nauseum about the women's division, how far the knockout division has fallen and where the WWE women's division has risen.
Yeah, or yeah. Shimmer or Stardom or any of this shit. I mean, there's literally, I was saying to you, 100 people could be hired for that women's division that are better than you. They had a negative 5-star match a few months ago. These kids are brutal, some of them.
It's bad. It's bad. I mean, when you look at who was, you know, we can do a whole show on TNA, but we shouldn't. Because we'd just be putting Dixie over and we wouldn't want to do that. You know,
I like Dixie. I don't like John.
Hey, look, I like Dixie. I like Dixie as a person too, but as a wrestling personality, man, get off my TV.
They won't do it. That's just something that won't happen.
How about this? Billy Corgan, get off TV.
He put in his money.
Now he thinks he's going to run the show. You are, you know what? I appreciate the Smashing Pumpkins. I appreciate your musician and your artistry, but you know what? A wrestling heel, you are not. You are deadpan.
What's the difference between Billy Corgan writing a Smashing Pumpkins song and Yngwie writing a song about a magic mirror? There is no difference. It's just something you buy or listen to. And now he's put this money in, so he wants to be a wrestling character. That's what this was all about all along. He wanted to be on the wrestling show, and he couldn't figure out a way. Then what happens? TNA's out of money. They can't do the pay-per-view, the TV tapings. Here's a check for $422,000. Okay, let me put on a sport coat. All right, now, I see that there's a matchup I need to, you know, and he's on the show, and he's a GM, and I'm just, yeah, you're right. I want to blow my brains out when I see him.
It's horrible.
He doesn't need to scream. He's not a good screamer.
No, he's horrible.
God.
Even annoying, too, on the records.
Quite bad.
Moving on from this, let's move on to something fantastical, to something more based in reality, much like UFC, the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yes.
Is coming up. I saw Bracketology. Did you see Bracketology?
I did. Yeah, it's so sad to see Daniel Bryan in a weird way still. It breaks my little evil heart.
It does, but let me tell you how good Mauro Ranallo and Daniel Bryan are as an announced team on that show. My God, talk about orgasmic. I mean, I'm just like, oh my God, this show is going to be great. Now, we here at Pro Wrestling Cast are hyped about the Cruiserweight Classic. We are hyped that all of these great, you see, I'm getting chills right now talking about it, because this is how much I love this. You have so many great performers. You had the weigh-ins, which are awesome. The interview vignettes they're posting at WWE.com and the app is so good. And then you go into this Bracketology and you go, wow, finally, they are getting something awesome. This is what Impact used to do. Presenting the artistry of the sport in a combat sports presentation where it really mattered.
Yeah,
you had the vignettes, slight enlightenment from those individual superstars in their perspective backgrounds, their fighting style, their country of origin. You had Daniel Bryan, Mauro Ranallo talking it like it was a legit combat sport.
Brilliant. Real weights.
Yeah, real weights. The brackets, you know, put together intriguing stories. If you know any of the backgrounds of these particular wrestlers, and I mean, you had a guy like, we'll talk about this in a little bit about how some of the Impact wrestlers are actually on there now, which are great because now they have an opportunity to shine outside of their costume, which is outstanding.
Yeah.
And then you have Triple H being real and not manufactured like the promos that his wife does outside, which are very well produced and well rehearsed to the point where they sound disingenuous, in my opinion. Okay. Yeah. Overall, Triple H sounds real, and regardless of it seems real. And that's what we want to buy into as fans. We want to buy into this universe where wins matter, where it's presented as being real, and Triple H is presenting things as being real, not his character. And this actually matters. And who knows what the end game is going to be. Whoever wins this Cruiserweight Classic will have an intangible award. No one knows what that award might be. The prestige of being the first ever crowned Cruiserweight Classic champion. He may get a WWE contract. He might get pulled into NXT. Some other people might be pulled as NXT as a result, but we don't know who the clear winner is going to be. You know, we have people that we think are going to make it, you know, to a high degree, but we don't know who the winner is going to be. This is going to be great stuff. Stephen, what are your thoughts?
That was great. Did you plan that?
No, it was just off the cuff.
That was great. I was just sitting here listening. the cool thing to me about it as a mark is Kota Ibushi presented as one of the greatest wrestlers in the world today. It's pretty amazing for me to see that. And a quick plug, if you haven't seen the G1 Nakamura Kota Ibushi match from 2013, off the chart. That's another match between those two you guys all need to check out. You know, things like Rich Swann talking about being an orphan really grabbed me. And the Johnny, I was about to say Johnny Football, the Johnny Gargano Tommaso Ciampa main event that's, I think, going to be in the fourth show. It would be the final bracket of the first bracketology set or whatever. It's supposed to be quite awesome. And they hyped it really good. My personal pick is Zack Sabre. I'm going to stick with that. You know, maybe I'm just a mark for Rev Pro and all the things they've done, but I could see it being Johnny Gargano though, and then, you know, maybe going that direction. I think Kota Ibushi is the best wrestler in it, but I don't think he's actually signed any kind of real contract. You know, when Nakamura left New Japan, he said, "It's all yours. I'm leaving now. It's your turn to take my spot." And he's like, "I'm not signing a fucking contract. I don't do shit like that." You know, because again, Kota Ibushi's totally awesome. The way they've put this together, like you were saying, and then you put it so eloquently, is that, you know, what's funny is some of the weights are all correct because they're like, you know, 145 pounds. It's like, wow, my God, 145 pounds. But then they'll kind of enhance the height sometimes. They'll say 5'9", 145 pounds instead of a lot of these guys like Austin Aries is 5'6". I know he's not in the CWC, but Austin Aries is 5'6". If you meet him, I am 7 inches taller than Austin Aries. You know, you could kind of tell that in the Nakamura match. But that's, again, another step in the right direction. For all that I think about, you know, Triple H and the mistakes he makes or he has made in booking himself, putting himself over people and ruining Booker T and all this shit. Whatever it is he's trying to accomplish with the Cruiserweight thing, with the NXT thing, with signing people like Shinsuke Nakamura is, you know, he's pulled it off. He's pulled it off. He's clever. And I'm kind of intrigued to see what his ideas for the WWE would be, because the WWE needs a new direction. You know, we started our show talking about their ratings. And since we were both so clever, we like to tie it back at the end sometimes. And that's what this is all about, a 1.87 rating. So you got a 1.87, and then you got the Cruiserweight Classic. You got Nakamura against Balor for NXT. You got these takeover shows selling out. You got a draft coming up where they're going to have grab people like Bailey. And you got the old man up there in the Eiffel Tower, an evil man, a legitimately evil billionaire, making mistakes, making big blunders, constantly making mistakes. And then you have a guy that's not making mistakes, that's doing new and innovative things. There needs to be a point where he hangs it up and lets him have a go at it, because eventually his business will die out. I say it every week. Well, without those rights fees, these guys don't make any money, you know. And with a 1.87, I know it's July 4th, but you got to look at that and say, what the fuck happened? So this CWC, this direction, this, you know, talking in a very shoot style about them in a realistic way, in an MMA manner, allowing MMA to influence the show product is brilliant.
Yeah.
Is brilliant.
Yeah, that's the – yeah, once again – you know, you and I are both behind this 110%.
Yes.
The presentation, like I said, is everything. The commentary team is going to be awesome. Daniel Bryan, it seems, very comfortable in his element. Unscripted, it seems, but yes. Very, very well prepared. And his voice, I believe, will be one of the future of SmackDown and the future of sports entertainment as we see it. The future is here, folks. The future is Mauro Ranallo, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And it is a great presentation. It doesn't have the production associated with a WWE Raw. It does not have the presentation of a Kevin Dunn, Vince McMahon. It has a production of a Triple H. And that is what I appreciate and why this is going to be the show to watch, along with NXT. And this is really good stuff. So I cannot wait. We're going to weigh in on our bracketology here when we break things down, as the international lineup looks great, looks very promising, as we see various styles of striking, grappling, scientific wrestling, lucha libre, Japanese strong style, mixed martial arts, all involved in this Cruiserweight Classic. So I encourage everybody to sign up for the network and give this a look, because the show starts next week. It's going to be, right? Yeah, I think it starts
Wednesday? This Wednesday, because they're going to do Nakamura Finn, and then they're going to do the first bracket on the same night. Yeah. And I can't fucking believe it. Yeah, you know,
I can't believe it either.
Now, Al John, if you don't mind, I would like to briefly segue into the Battle of Los Angeles that the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla PWG promotion is putting on. I just wanted to name the participants because I almost had an orgasm on a lawnmower when I read
Wow, this is going to be the show of orgasms, isn't it?
I guess so.
Holy
male ones, at least. Okay, so here are the participants. I don't even know what that last comment meant, Al John. All right.
Okay, just go ahead.
Adam, this is who we got for the BOLA, Battle of Los Angeles. It's awesome every year. We got Adam Cole, Bullet Club member, Ring of Honor specialist. Chris Hero, perhaps my favorite wrestler, perhaps, because he, again, is as fat as I am, but can do spinning pile drivers. Dalton Castle. Have you heard of this guy?
Oh, of course. Dalton Castle with the man team.
Handsome gent. You might have heard of this guy, Cody Rhodes. You heard of this guy, Cody Rhodes? Dusty Rhodes' son?
Yeah.
Phoenix? Stardust. Yes. No, it's not Stardust. I've listened to two podcasts with Cody. He hates the Stardust gimmick. He's now revealed that, which is funny because he plays it so well.
No, he's all in.
Yeah. Jack Gallagher, Jeff Cobb, John Hennigan, the former John Morrison, who's awesome.
Yeah, Go ahead. Yeah, he is awesome. And who did you say before that?
Jack Gallagher.
Jack Gallagher. He's also in part of the CWC, right?
I think a lot of these guys are. If I'm not mistaken, I'm starting to get confused if you want me to be real honest. Phoenix from Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground, yeah. You definitely heard of this guy, Jushin Liger.
Legendary.
Legendary. Pinned that dirty murderer Benoit.
Wow.
Kamatachi, who's really good. Murder Free. Sorry. Kyle O'Reilly from Ring of Honor.
Oh, my.
Don't worry. There's only 72 more. Marty Scurll, who I keep saying is going to be the next big name coming out of RevPro.
Yep.
Will Ospreay and Zack Sabre Jr.
Wow.
Both. Okay. Yep. Tommy End, who is in the tournament. Sammy Callahan, one of my favorite independents. Ricochet, our Cruiserweight Wrestler of the Year, whatever it's called. Pentagon Jr. from
Lucha
Underground. Matt Sydal, the former Evan Bourne.
ROH.
Trevor Lee from TNA, another North Carolina boy, because I think the Hardys run the promotion. And Peter Dunne and Matt Riddle, who's another awesome independent wrestler. And Mark Haskins and Mandrews. And that's shit. That looks like a better show to me than the Cruiserweight Classic or the New Japan.
This is good.
Or anything.
This
good is God.
Good. You know, I mean, these guys, man, oh, man. Battle Los Angeles. It's going to be an epic show.
Yeah.
And by the way, you want to check out more Battle of Los Angeles pay-per-views, you need to go ahead and click on our link to High Spots because they got them.
Yeah, and they're all fucking awesome.
They're all awesome.
They literally have 7 or 8 4-star matches on the show. It's unbelievable.
When you look at Battle of Los Angeles, you look at like Wrestle Kingdoms, those type of things are like Super Bowl shows, Super Bowl quality shows. So definitely check that out. Between that, Cruiserweight Classic, the Super J Cup that's coming up. We did talk about Super J Cup, did we not, like a couple of weeks back?
We did talk about Will Ospreay.
Because I've got
the Super Juniors. The Super J Cup is coming up shortly.
Yeah, the Super J Cup is coming up.
Do you have the list in front of you?
I do have the list in front of me.
Okay.
New Japan and Wrestling Noah and the 16-man tournament that's taking place here on the 20th of July, Kurikan Hall in Tokyo. It's going to be great. And then the finals will take place August 21st at the Ariake Coliseum in Tokyo. So here's a field of the 16-man tournament. We've got IWGP heavyweight champion Kushida versus Raishuki.
He's not the heavyweight champ. He's not the heavyweight champ.
Junior. Junior heavyweight champion. Sorry.
He's awesome, though.
And Jushin Liger. Yep. Chaos will be there, represented by Will Ospreay. You've got LIJ, who is Bushi, represented by Bushi. ROH, represented by Matt Sydal. You've got Noah, who's there. You got Taji Ishimori, Daisuke Harada, and Kanoa. And then you have CMLL's Titan. And then Suzuki Gun, GHG heavyweight, junior heavyweight champion, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Taichi. And AJPW, their representative is Yuma Aoki.
AJPW having tough times.
Yeah, K-Dojo and Kaji Tamato will be there. Dragon Gate will be Aita. And Ryuku Dragon representative will be Gurkun Mask. So that's going to be really cool, man. That's a lot of great wrestlers. The opening round card in July 20th will have Kushida versus Noah's Taiji Ishimori.
Awesome.
Reishuki Taduchi from New Japan versus Daisuke Harada, Noah. Mm-hmm. And the next one will be Bushi from LIJ versus GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion Kenmaru.
I hope Bushi wins this. Bushi's my pick. I just wanted to say that.
Okay. Number five match will be Ospreay from Chaos versus Titan from CMLL. That'll be an awesome match.
Yes.
Jushin Liger from New Japan will go against Aita from Dragon Gate. Awesome. Yuma Yagoki from AJPW versus Taichi. And then Gurkun Mask versus Kino from Noah. And then number one will be the Sydal from Ring of Honor versus Tamato from K-Dojo.
I'm going to say that Bushi either pins Ospreay or Bushi pins Kushida. Bushi will win it for Los Ingobernables. It will set up a big title match with Kushida or continue the feud of Chaos and Los Ingobernables in some way. Bushi's the man.
Yeah. So that's the Super J Cup 2016. Man, oh man, the next 3 weeks are just going to be awesome wrestling action after wrestling action. We're going to be wrapping up the show really quick, but I do want to let everyone know that we did get the ratings from the TNA Impact.
Yes.
TNA Impact solo airing drew 410,000 viewers, up 27% from 322K from last week.
Yeah, great.
And that dates all the way back to 3.5 months ago. Their viewership of 430,000 total viewers March 15th in that semi-live episode of Impact that was kind of screwed up.
Yeah, but they a lot of those older numbers, they combine the replay.
Yeah, well, this is the solo airing. This is not the replay.
Awesome. And that's a great number because you add in all those YouTube views and all the people talking, and 27% is something, and it's the first time they made any significant movement in any direction in years. And give it up for the Hardy Boys. Those boys have some good smoke, allegedly.
On a completely different scale, Lucha Underground is losing viewers. Lucha Underground Ultima Lucha Dos got off to a very slow start, as we're looking at a 35% loss of viewership down from this time. So they are now drawing 143,000 viewers, down from 219,000.
That's terrible, because that's an expensive TV production. They can't have ratings that low.
It is. And once again, this does not take into account DVR recordings. So hopefully Impact and Lucha Underground will be doing a lot more in terms of that. A couple other great headlines. Congratulations to Dolph Ziggler, because he is receiving a Hall of Fame induction from the Kent State
program.
So Ziggler, who was an amateur wrestler at Kent State, at St. John's, and several other Hall of Famers are also a part of that class as well. But congratulations to Dolph Ziggler for receiving his Hall of Fame induction there at Kent State, and well-deserved as well, being an amateur. We don't talk about him being an amateur wrestler as much as we need to, because he's actually very accomplished.
And also, I don't believe he lost very much as an amateur wrestler, maybe once or twice.
No, he has a very good record as an amateur. Speaking of doing something good, ABC News covers Heath Slater returning to West Virginia for flood relief. Okay. And via ABC News and AP, Heath Slater from WWE returned home to West Virginia to help out recent flood victims. So congratulations to him for doing something great. I've always been a fan of Heath Slater. Talk about a guy that knows his role and is happy with the role. And, you know, he's been on the chopping block so many times and has managed to get out of it because of his attitude and the way he presents himself. So kudos to Heath Slater.
That's awesome. A redhead from West Virginia. Cannot be easy, sir.
No, it cannot. Ring of Honor, just wrapping things up, had brought forth a brand new line of collectible action figures, which looks killer if you're a big fan of that. Ring of Honor partnered up with the Figures Toy Company and has new stuff ready to ship, which you can get using our Amazon link. Series 1 includes figures of Jay Lethal, Kevin Steen, pre-WWE, Briscoe Brothers. The figures are $24.99 each with removable gear such as Lethal's robe and Steen's Kill t-shirt. Those particular line of figures are outstanding, highly detailed, and they're about $24.99 each. So you can look forward to getting that. And by the way, Legend One series will also include Jim Cornette, New Jack, Blue Meanie, Mikey Whipwreck. Those figures will actually be moved into Series 2. There's also an upcoming Rising Stars series featuring the Bullet Club, AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, and the Young Bucks. So if you're a big fan of highly detailed figures, and they look pretty awesome, and you can see the Michael Elgin figure that I have here from the Ring of Honor website. So if you're into collecting, you can check this out as well. Check this out. Michael mm-hmm. Elgin's figure is right there. Like I said, pretty highly detailed, and kudos to Ring of Honor.
He's actually much fatter than that in real life.
I have too, the Jay Lethal figure here on my iPhone, and you can check that out. Comes to us from the Black Machismo days of Jay Lethal.
And guys, don't miss Fight TV app airing of Ring of Honor coming up. I think you're going to have it tonight. It's an awesome angle. The best Ring of Honor angle in years.
I agree.
Guarantee.
I am going to put this out there before we wrap the show up, but the Final Deletion, with all of its hype and glory, do you believe that Vince McMahon watched this, and what do you think his response would be?
Rip it off. Do a compound match. And in the compound match with the Wyatts will suck because people will compare it, and it'll suck.
So that is my thought. You and I both agreed, and I
think
that the Wyatts versus New Day is going to be this particular angle, and it's going to be shot. It's going to be a remote shoot, and it's not going to be live, and it's going to, I don't know. That's one thing that people have criticized WWE. WWE does not do real.
Well, let me tell you this, and I don't want to scare. I don't want to scare.
Deletion was real, but
no, that really happened. But don't you think Matt Hardy could have flown like 4 drones to Jeff Hardy's house as a prank one day, though? Don't you think he could have actually done that, like in real life? How funny is that?
I mean,
how drones are outside, you were like, "What the fuck?"
You think
that's hilarious?
I mean, they think of how many drone shots there were. I mean, the drone shots and the vignettes were just outrageous. I mean, unnecessary, but very cool. It's like, welcome to this episode of Cribs. I mean, the whole time I was thinking, welcome to the episode of Hardy Boys Cribs with the drones and the outdoor views and everything. I'm like, wow, this is pretty nice to have these outstanding shots, but wow.
Spectacular. But you're asking me about the compound match. These are my thoughts on the compound match. If you're going to have a compound match, you should obviously do it in the Wyatt's home. And since the Wyatt's are supposed to be where I'm from, I'm thinking they should do the compound match in Devil's Swamp. Devil's Swamp is a very dirt road kind of area. We used to walk it as kids from Raceland, Louisiana to Schriever. And in the midst of that, you know, there are a lot of dead bodies that have been buried out there because a lot of people would kill people and put them in Devil's Swamp. Once I heard a man say he looked up into the sky late at night and saw two moons. And that's dark times, Daddy. They should do the compound match there.
On that note, once again, thank you so much for tuning into Pro Wrestling Cast. We leave you with the immortal words of the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, UFC 200. And once again, our thoughts go out to the folks of Dallas, and we hope that everybody maintains cool, calm, and collectedness moving forward. Because if if there's any reason to bring about world peace, it would be watching professional wrestling and the Final Deletion. Let's all sit down and watch the Final Deletion.
People wonder why I watch wrestling, but I told all of my friends, you know, of all races, I said, I love you. God bless you and your family. And they said, God bless you and your family. And everybody is cool. Don't let the news get you so upset. Everybody stay fucking cool. Stay cool, daddy. It's hard in an election year. Don't let them work you. It's all a game. Stay cool.
And don't forget to tuck your head. Nick Bockwinkle for life.
He would know what to do.
That's right. Nick Bockwinkle for president. And we will see you next time. Take care.
Promo of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, after three rounds, we go to the judges' scorecards for a decision. All three judges score this contest 29-27 for the winner by unanimous decision, Brock Lesnar.
I'm here with the winner, Brock Lesnar. Brock, first of all, what does it feel like to be back? And what did it feel like to beat a top 10 heavyweight after all these years off?
Oh, man. It took me a little while just to get acclimated. Words can't describe it. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
Brock, this is something that you've been thinking about for so long, working towards for so long. Where is your mind at now after beating a guy like Mark Hunt, who is a big heavyweight contender? You're right in the mix with one fight.
Man, one day at a time. I'm so happy to be in here. One thing I do want to do, America, a shout out to the men in uniform that protect and serve this country. From sea to shining sea, from one white boy to all nationalities, we gotta stand together, people.
Brock, congratulations and welcome back, sir. Brock Lesnar, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.